ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. After going 39-84 in his two seasons as head coach, Jim Boylan is fired by the Bulls. He was promoted to the job after Fred Hoiberg was fired in December of 2018. The Trailblazers and Grizzlies will meet in the West play-in this weekend, and then the playoffs start Monday. The 76ers will meet the Celtics in the first round. ESPN's Tim McMahon.
This could be an offseason of major shakeup for Philadelphia. Really from the top on down, not just Simmons and Embiid, but, you know, do they decide to go in a different direction with Brett Brown?
Ben Simmons will miss the playoffs after knee surgery. The St. Louis Cardinals are scheduled to resume their season tomorrow with a doubleheader against the White Sox. The team is asking all of the players to drive separately to Chicago in rental cars. The Cardinals haven't played since July 29th. When the PGA Tour playoffs tee off next week at TPC Boston, Tiger Woods plans to play. This weekend is the last chance to qualify.
ESPN Radio, more than content to pull up from half court here at First Take Your Take. Mike Golic Jr., Chinne Igwumike. Chinne, do you have that shot in your bag? Do you have a logo shot in you?
I absolutely have a logo shot, but it's like the granny. So it's better off, like, I need a running start,
okay,
or I can granny it.
So you're like me when I'm trying to make, like, the halftime shot to win $1 million or something like that.
Yeah. No, actually, I'm not bad. I usually bank it from half court, but I'm not. It's not like I'm – if I did that, my coach would be like, next.
All right, as long as you call glass, I can live with that. Because last night, we all got to watch Damian Dillard. At some point, I'm going to learn how to speak English on this thing.
No. Logo Lillard. Logo Lillard.
Well, as you called him, and we talked about this before, he's not the underdog anymore. He's the under god at this point. Because if you doubt Damian Lillard at this point, do it at your own risk. He went off again last night in a barn burner against the Nets. And it got us to talking about some interesting things about where Dame sits relative to his tier, certainly as a star in the NBA, but also now getting to look forward, because I said this yesterday, I have the utmost confidence still in the Lakers after last night. It didn't do anything to change me, despite how exciting that was. But I want to give you a chance, Chinne, here in a second, to change my mind on some things. I feel like you, with all of your basketball prowess, again, Chinne and Golic Jr. is going to start next week, Monday through Friday, 4 to 7 Eastern. Chinne is a current WNBA player. Chinne is as locked in and dialed into all this as anybody. So I feel like if anyone can change my mind on any of this stuff, it is probably you. That being said, we got to have a more important conversation first.
Okay.
We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Shell Penzoil Performance Line. And remember, the NBA is on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight. Kawhi and the Clippers are going to host the Thunder, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 6 Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. So I wake up this morning, Chinne, and I look, and it was one of those, man, just look at God work moments. Okay. Because I see a tweet. Now, this is a little older tweet. It's about a week old. From Kraft Macaroni and Cheese, and they said, isn't it about time the most important meal of the day is also the tastiest? Have you tried having mac and cheese for breakfast? And I looked at it, and it's like a bowl of mac and cheese there, and it's a glass of milk, and there's like an orange slice next to it. And at first, I looked at it and said, man, milk and mac and cheese. And then I thought, wait a minute, if you're making the cheese right anyway, there's already milk in there. All of a sudden, like, Chinne, would you get down with mac and cheese for breakfast is what I think I'm trying to ask you here.
So the funny thing is, I'm out here in Los Angeles, and I am from Houston, Texas. I'm from the South, where the best barbecue is. So anytime, like, we talk mac and cheese, brisket, ribs, like, I'm always going to say, I don't know, like, about store brand, box mac and cheese. I just tried this place called Slab here in L.A., and that is love. Again, I'm dairy-free, and they made me risk it all. But saying all of that, no, I can't do it. I can't do mac and cheese for breakfast. Like, that,
Now, wait.
And milk is not my delicacy either.
Well, see, this was my next question, because the glass of milk there, like, I grew up drinking milk, and I'll never forget, like, the transformative experience I had the first time I was at a hotel, and you know how they got, like, the carafes of milk there, and they're not always marked correctly, and I had only basically, I'd grown up on skim milk, just, like, my eyes fully covered, bird box on the world of milk. And all of a sudden, I accidentally put whole milk in my cereal, and it was like a moment where, like, angels came down and a choir sang, and I looked at my parents, and I almost cursed them out. Why had you hidden this from me for so long? Like, did you grow up drinking milk at all? Is that, like, at all in your world?
We were not really. We were a cereal family for breakfast occasionally.
Of course.
Toaster strudel, and then, like, Hawaiian bread sandwiches. Our breakfasts were pretty lit. But my whole new world experience happened in college when I was like, oh, wait, there are other cereal brands other than, like, Honey Bunches and Fruit Loops? Like Cap'n Crunch? That's a Frosted Flakes?
You had that in... Wait, so your first time having Cap'n college. Crunch in that was college?
It was in college. I had Cap'n Crunch, and I was like, whoa, this is like candy for breakfast. Oh. So I never grew up, like, we didn't prioritize milk that much, even though, like, everywhere we go, your daughters are so tall, they must be drinking their milk. We're like, what is that thing? You know, first generation born and raised here, so we're like, is that, like, an American thing? Like, you know, drinking milk, like, makes you tall? Is that what the assumption is? But it's more so the bones, making your bones strong, even though, like, that's up for debate. But
yeah.
Yeah,
I was just going to say, that's one of those things that seems like it's gone by the wayside a little bit, too. But I am.
You were chewing your milk, though, right? Like, you had that whole milk. You like,
oh, yeah.
Chewing it.
I mean, the amount of fat in all that one, it was a true what's blind. I was blind, but now I see.
As you were, yeah. So I think when it comes to me, and this is where you probably will just say, like, I don't know if we can make it to the 17th on Monday. All milk tastes the same to me. Mm. Sort of like all Skittles taste the same to me.
So all Skittles, I will grant you, taste the same. All milk, I cannot condone that take. I cannot co-sign that. At Chanae321, let her know your transformative milk experience. Whole milk just hits different. There is nothing like basically drinking butter. It is fantastic. I love it so dearly. We're gonna work on this, Chanae. I feel like this is an area for growth.
For improvement. You're right. I'm an almond milk girl, so maybe I've been in California way too long.
Man, it already sounds like it. First Take, Your Take here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chanae Agumake here. All right, I want to first start us off, I feel like, on the right note here with the sights and sound from last night, because what Damian Lillard did last night deserves celebration. Here was the logo three-pointer from Dame from our friends at Rip City Radio.
Dame slows it across the center court circle, takes a logo three. It's good! Logo Lillard at his finest. He's got 33.
Timeout Brooklyn.
36-foot triple for Dame. And the Blazers are within four. 107-103, and Jock Vaughn will take timeout.
Again, Rip City Radio on the call for that last night. And so we all saw it. We all saw how exciting that game was. And I think you would agree, Chanae, felt like a playoff game last night, right?
It was. It was. Because it was their hopes to make it into the play-in. So, yes.
So them and Memphis controlled their own destiny. They handled their business, and now they get to make it the play-in game. But the one thing I thought, and you've seen online that meme where it's someone posted up at the desk and it says, change my mind.
Yeah.
It got me thinking about a couple of things in here, and so I want to see. You're our NBA analyst around here, and so I want to give you the chance to change my mind on a couple of things. Maybe we agree, maybe we don't, but okay. I at least want to give you the chance to change my mind.
Let's
you good on
it.
That?
I'm down.
All
Let's
right.
go.
Because I watched last night's game against the Trailblazers, between the Nets and the Trailblazers, and I thought, you know what? Based on everything I've seen in this game, the Lakers are still the overwhelming favorite to win it all, and especially to come out of the West for me. Change my mind.
Well, the Lakers are feeling more pressure. And not too long ago, LeBron James even went to the media and said, guess what? This is an adjustment for me. We saw that clearly LeBron James, I mean, he could have been MVP this year. It's likely to go Giannis, right? This guy is so used to controlling his surroundings. Well, guess what? This is the first time where the surroundings are completely controlled. No fans. The man in the arena now is in a quiet arena. And now he's dealing with a team that he's sort of now learning on the fly, right? We're trying to see who those shooters are. So you have a team in Portland that is at supernova level of confidence. You have Damian Lillard, who's going to draw two defenders out, okay? So things will be easier for them than they are for you entering this scenario. This is unprecedented. And you have a team in which, in Portland, you've got Melo now. And Melo is an all-star, a future Hall of Famer, who knows LeBron extremely well. Are we going back to the banana boat? We've got CJ McCollum, who can go off in the first quarter, and then Dame can hold it down the next three. And then you've got Nurkic, who's a big, who we've seen Anthony Davis struggle, you know, being guarded differently. The opportunity now, and it's the Portland Trailblazers that no one wants to see at 8. They wouldn't want to see them at 7. They wouldn't want to see them at 4. The Clippers and the Lakers are looking at them like, dang, you know, Memphis, come on now. Let's go. So I don't know.
All right.
I feel like there's a little ambiguity there. It's not so cut and stone.
It's not so cut and dry. Well, I'll tell you someone who agrees with you that it's not so cut and stone that the Lakers are the favorite. Our own ESPN NBA reporter Tim McMahon talks about the health of LeBron James and why the Clippers might actually be the team to beat.
If you'd asked me before the bubble started, I would have said the Lakers. And my thought process there was a healthy LeBron James, a legitimate co-star. You know, I'm not betting against that. I don't know how healthy LeBron is, though. He popped up on the injury report with that groin. He just came off a game where he had a rebound, singular, in an entire game. If that's nagging him, then, I would say that the Clippers are the favorite.
And there's part of me, and like maybe this is me being able to excuse things away and say, well, LeBron James, if he's feeling anything with that groin that's popped up, maybe he was just taking it easy. Their status is secure and all this. Any part of that change your mind on the Lakers being the top seed in the Western Conference, being the team to beat in the Western Conference?
Look, I think the Lakers are the team to beat, even though they're not necessarily a team that people think is the easiest way to, you know, the finals.
Okay.
He's right. The Clippers, I mean, they're just getting Montrezl Harrell back. And between Montrezl Harrell and Lou Will, that's 36 points per game. And it just comes easy to them. And Kawhi is going to Kawhi. Paul George is hungry and probably out to redeem himself after the beef. So Lakers, it's not so easy, whether it's 8 or number 2 in the Clippers spot.
So I got one about the Clippers then. First take, your take here. I'm giving you the chance to prove me wrong on this one. Change my mind on the fact that the Clippers' best shot to win a title with Paul George and Kawhi as their center is in the bubble here.
No, it's not. It's next year. It's probably next year. I think the Clippers can win it, and they have a lot of players that are built and designed for the bubble, but there are a lot of, you know, factors that have not been consistent. And so, like, we're looking at a Lakers team that has consistently had, for the most part, their players. Anthony Davis, LeBron James, obviously Avery Bradley. That's a situation that they're dealing with. But, you know, Danny Green, you still have Kyle Kuzma's getting opportunity. So if you look at the Clippers, they've been in and out. They barely had a full lineup, maybe 3 games this entire year. So if you think about them, their best chance to win a title is largely because we believe in Kawhi and his powers being able to drop into a team and lead that team with a great system around them to a championship. There's a great system in Los Angeles with the Clippers, but the difference is that you've got another new piece in Paul George. You have a new piece that's literally coming into the bubble right now, and you have the West, the entire West, that can throw a wrench into anyone's plans, whether you are the Portland Trailblazers, the Denver Nuggets, the Utah Jazz. There are a lot of young players that are making names for themselves in the bubble right now. I think next year, when there's more stability, next year when there's more consistent health, the Clippers, I can see them being a real favorite. I would not be surprised if they take it to the West, go to the finals, but I think it's more expected of them for next year when they have real consistency. So it could be a scenario where they go back-to-back, or likely next year they win it.
See, the reason I disagree is because so much of their foundation is based on, I think, a couple of things. One, the lack of noise around them right now. This is a team, the way it came together, the way Kawhi Leonard ended up out there was so quintessentially not Kawhi Leonard, orchestrating things in back rooms, figuring out a way to get everything his way out in L.A. with the Clippers. But now that that's died down, it's exactly the way Kawhi wants. He wants to lurk in the darkness in a lot of this. He is as healthy as we'll see him coming off of that long hiatus before and leading up to the bubble, because we know that's always a concern with him and some of the mysterious injuries around him. And then also the lack of noise. Next year, when we go into next season, how much of the talk, especially if they fall short this year, is going to be about Paul George, who just got called out on Instagram by Dame Lillard for running and trying to find new teams and find new ways through.
And company.
Who's got that player opt-out after the 2020-2021 season that's going to be coming up right now. Remember, 2022, he's got that spot in his contract where now all of a sudden, maybe he leaves town again. And with every loss or everything that might not go their way, I think that noise mounts up. While the rest of the West that you mentioned, Luka Doncic, all the rest of these guys, can we count on Golden State to be that bad 2 years in a row? Like, I think right now as they sit, that might be their best shot.
Honestly, the bubble is built for surprise. Damian Lillard underdog, TJ Warren, underdog, Luka Doncic, happy we get in the playoffs, but performing. There are a lot of players that we don't necessarily talk about that are performing well, and I expect carryover. So these favorites have a task in which they're going up against young guys that feel empowered and can pull off the impossible, and we're seeing it happen with Portland.
All right, Chinee, I'm going to give you a chance here. We're going to play Change My Mind still here. Mike Golic Jr., Chinee Agwumike, again, 4 to 7 Eastern, Monday through Friday. You can hear us starting next week. We came on the show the other day with the news about Russell Westbrook, his quad injury, right quad strain, that's going to likely keep him out for the first game of their playoff series right now. We said that's, you know, we're planning on one game right now. But, Chinee, let's say Russ misses two or more games. Oklahoma City is going to take that series. Change my mind.
Oh, my gosh. Come on now. Your girl's here from Houston, Texas. There's no way that I would say that this would happen, even if it's logically going to happen, which would be very likely. But, okay, in the reality, though, OKC has had a great year. And they have a team in which they have a lot of role players, whether they're off the bench, Dennis Schroeder, or starting, Chris Paul. You have Steven Adams. They're solid, and they've had a successful year. This is the time for the Rockets to make the next step. And this is also a situation where we're talking previously where there are certain teams designed for the bubble. People are seeing that Russell Westbrook might be out for the first few games. Are you not seeing what James Harden is doing, hearing that his teammate might be out? He dropped 45. I think it was like 10 for 17 from like the field or something from three. Something absurd where it's like, whoa, that's efficient. James Harden being efficient, getting 45. I think he's doing that because he knows he will have to do that in the playoffs for the first few rounds. People forget this man literally leads the league in scoring, has won an MVP, but like literally we're like, oh, that's cute. Like he's doing things that most players never do. He is the beautiful product of, oh, Steph Curry game, ISO game, finishing at the rim. James Harden is averaging 34 points per game. He easily, quickly got a 45 piece in the bubble. He knows what's happening. And he also knows what's happening because he knows his bro is likely, hopefully, to come back at some point. Can he hold it down by himself? He's been doing that for years. He's been doing that for years, and now he has a partner that he can believe in and buy him time. Before, it was about us buying him, you know, James Harden time. Now it's about buying his partner in crime time. And guess what happens when Russ is back? He's going to be fresh. He's going to be real fresh. So maybe he comes back in game three. Maybe he comes back in game four. Well, guess what? He will be ready. And no matter, it's not like you're going on the road. You're in the bubble, and all you have to do is ball. So, Houston, we do not have a problem just yet.
I see. The only thing that my concern is here, Chinee, is all those things you said about James Harden are valid. And if it's over a couple game sample size and you get Russ back and everything is good, then we're okay. But I think back to the Golden State Warriors, I forget what year it was exactly, if it was 16 or 17, when Steph Curry came into the playoffs and there was that ankle injury early on and it kind of lingered later and all these different things that ultimately led to making life a lot more difficult for it to just be coming back and being good to go in a lot of this. Because the rest of that with James Harden, I'm sorry, we've seen before. This is kind of like me with the New Orleans Saints in football, where I expect them to be a certain level of great every year, but unless you show me something different, meaning unless you add a piece like that, like Russ, that can all of a sudden be the difference putting the foot on the gas there, like the Saints have done maybe with Emmanuel Sanders this year, I have seen a ceiling to their greatness over a long enough sample size recently for me to look at that, me to kind of have my doubts about, all right, can James Harden, as great as he is, as offensively gifted as he is, can that really be a difference if all of a sudden now you're talking about two, maybe three games without Russ?
We got to put more respect on James Harden's name.
I respect him.
We
got to
put more respect on it. We're acting like he's not someone that can lead a team. Like consistently he has led the Rockets. Right now, if you look at the Rockets, without him, I know there was a question of who's more important. James Harden has been the consistent piece. And if you're saying that he can't make it past one round by himself, I think that's diminishing even his skill level. Now, obviously, it's going to be difficult because, you know, they've gone all in on this small ball, and it's largely predicated on Russell Westbrook and his ability to get rebounds and push and get them more possessions. But James Harden is up for his task. We forget that. Do you see what he's looking like? Like, this is James Harden that's trimmed down in quarantine. He's ready to go. He wants to change the narrative. We're sort of looking at him sort of with a little bit of malaise when it comes to his game. There's so many negative connotations that we forget that this guy, what he's doing for this prolonged stretch in NBA is a part of history. He really is a part of history. So, like, as great as the Thunder have had a tremendous season and as, you know, hopeful as, and optimistic as you can be on them, I think the echelon, even without Russell Westbrook, there's an expectation that James can do it the same way Dame is doing it. And as long as he gets those contributing factors where you're shooting more threes and you're holding down the rebounds and all that type of stuff, Houston should always still be in the mix. Now, with championship mix, you need Russ. First round, compete, he can do it.
All right, I got one more here for you, Janae, all right? It's First Take, Your Take. We're brought to you by Pennzoil Synthetic Motor Oils made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil based on Sequence 4A wear testing using SAE 5W30. I want to go to the Eastern Conference for a second here, and it's a quick one. We got about a minute here.
Okay.
If the Bucks don't make it to the NBA Finals this year, we have to officially bar Giannis from winning MVPs from here on out.
Ooh. If the Bucks don't make it, we have to bar him from winning MVPs. I think that's
like
fair.
Until because, we get a finals appearance from Giannis, I feel like after this, he's going to win back-to-back MVPs and justifiably
so. And then if he doesn't get it anymore,
we got to raise the bar.
So this is the difference here. As great as LeBron James has been, and this is everyone wants him to be MVP because at 35, I think there's a little ageism there, at 35, what he's doing is so impressive. The reality is what Giannis is doing is crazy. To have number one record in entire NBA, if there was no, you know, situation with a break, they would have the momentum for us to all think they're likely to win. Their team is a well-oiled machine. Giannis is giving you 30 points, 14 rebounds, 6 assists, and he's doing it on less minutes than he did it last year. And he's only going to get better. He's already made more threes. He made more threes a third of the way through the season than the year before. So now if he knocks down that three-point shot, which he will improve, there's been improvement on every facet of his game, every step of the way. This man will still win MVP, whether he wins the championship or not. You're likely to see a 30, 14, 10. He can get his assist numbers up and then knock down threes at a 35% clip. You're telling me that does not deserve MVP when you're number one in the standings as well? And then maybe you lose again in the championship. Instead of it being an MVP prohibitor, maybe it's a Milwaukee prohibitor where he has to go somewhere else.
Ooh, see, now there's the take, because you're right. I can't even justify that. If he continues to improve the way he did last year, of course he's going to win.
Hey, we stumbled on one.
Again, so you have, in fact, changed my mind on that one. But you're right. It could be the biggest factor in what happens with Milwaukee going forward. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Commercial is proud to partner with the small business experts at SCORE. Access free online resources through the SCORE Small Business Resilience Hub at score.org. All right, coming up next, we talked about this right at the end of the show yesterday, but I want to double back to it. The Seahawks cut a rookie after got caught sneaking a woman into the team hotel. This is why we can't have nice things. I think we can all agree, especially on this show, and especially on the show coming up next week, Janae Angolo Jr., 4 to 7 Eastern, Monday through Friday on ESPN Radio. But even now, First Take, Your Take here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, that training camp is hard times, Janae. Like, all of us grow up dreading it, whether it's in high school, whether it was in college where you and I both played, or even for you now, I'm sure. Like, hell, part of this offseason's challenge heading into the bubble was trying to piece together something that resembles that, but the dread is like none other, right?
Yeah. I think every aspect of becoming a pro, you know, you see all the glitz and the glamour, you see the TV games, you see all those amazing moments, like what we're talking about with Damian Lillard and the Portland Trailblazers, Luka Doncic, but the grind is real. Behind the scenes, the grind is real.
It is. Like for me, every time I hear an air horn go off, it always triggers me back to that, because every part of your life is dictated by what comes next after the sound of that air horn there. So I heard it the other day. It's that, and then you know when it's really humid out and you can almost like smell the grass dying?
Yeah.
Every time I catch that whiff, I am walking into the football facility at Notre Dame with this slow sinking dread of going, man, I really got to go out there and stretch for a second time that day. Because it wasn't the second practice that got like.
Oh,
that is.
Do you need a break? Are you okay?
Like, honestly, I just looked up and wondered why I wasn't getting yelled at. Because, like, it's that second time around when they blow that horn, and I got to go out there and stretch. Not practice, but stretch for that next practice that really breaks my soul.
The hardest part for me is, like, even thinking about hearing get on the line. Like, that fear of that phrase, get on the line. Like, it's like, I can't. That was my moment of liberation. Go pro. And I was like, oh, maybe I heard it I heard it. Oh. I heard it still in the pros.
You, I was gonna say, you thought you had left that in college.
But the difference was, like, we're not doing marathons of, like, 15 down and backs. It's, like, down and back once because you have vets on the team that, like, can only make it down and back once. So.
And that's the biggest difference, being a rookie and being a vet. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. We got a big wake-up call moment like that yesterday at the end of the show for us coming out of the NFL. Seahawks waived rookie cornerback Kima Siverin earlier this week after he got caught on video trying to sneak a woman into the team hotel, a source told ESPN. The NFL Network first reported the circumstances of his release, noting that the woman was wearing Seahawks gear in an attempt to disguise herself as a player. So first and foremost, this is like the most rookie thing possible in here. Like, everyone understands you're going into camp. We've talked about this and joked about this with the bubble for players missing their significant others, maybe missing the ability to have that interaction with those significant others in a lot of this one. But, man, to try and do it in this, like, that is some college stuff right there.
I was about to say, how real are we going to get here? Because,
go ahead.
Okay. But first, like, eventually for Chenan Gold Jr. on Monday, we'll have this hopeful sound for this type of segment. Like, you about to lose your job. You about to lose your... Say it with me, y'all. Okay. There are levels to this. Now, a veteran would have said, how long till we get guests? A veteran would have at least posed the question of, how can we finesse one of our guests to our staff that's getting tested? A rookie would go to the Amazon website, order some gear, send it to her, tell her to walk it in and think that it's like, oh, you're with the team, right? Like, you actually called more attention to her by having her in team gear. Because most team officials don't, this is one of the rule of thumbs, like, when you're in the professional, like, don't wear your team gear out in public because it's easier for people to put two and two together. So you called more attention to her by having her wear the team gear, which we normally don't wear unless we're walking as a unit together. And that is where you got caught up.
I always like to think of this in this situation, too, because it's the Seahawks, that she had, like, the action green sweatshirt on.
Lime
like,
green.
You had the biggest banner. Because you're right. Like, once you get out of college where everyone's wearing the uniform issue gray sweats because we're lazy and we don't want to get dressed up to go to class, when you get to the pros, everybody stops doing that because you're trying to be a little more low profile. This was the hello fellow kids of attempting to sneak an opposite sex member into the hotel on this situation. And it's like, it's got, but unfortunately, there's the real component to this also, which is, this is exactly what people are worried about with sports that aren't in the bubble right now. Because the NBA and the WNBA, very real rules and protocols. Now, I know the WNBA, you could have significant others in there as soon as you got to the bubble, correct?
Yes,
The NBA, there was a bit of a waiting period here, but there was a process. Like, there's security. There is an actual bubble in a lot of this. For the NFL, for Major League Baseball, for college football to an extent, this is the exact thing that we worry about, is one person undermining the effort of everyone else.
Exactly. And that's where, like, there's no joke about it. Like, you can't be a rookie thinking that you're going to be slick and jeopardize the health and safety of your entire team. Like, that is the worst thing you could possibly do. And I think this is where it's, like, having that notion of knowing when there's light at the end of the tunnel. Like, when the NBA announced that you're going to be by yourself in the bubble, but you make it to the first round and you get your guess. And if you don't, you're back home with your guess. So, like, having that notion of light at the end of the tunnel would be helpful in these scenarios. Even though people are going to be, you know, exposed to whatever they're exposed to if you're not in a bubble. That's where everything got a little blurry, but, like, I totally understand that this was a rookie, because this is a rookie mistake.
It's mitigating all risks in that situation, and the opportunity cost is, like, for a rookie and for an undrafted rookie, the way that I believe he was. So he was undrafted out of Oklahoma State and had a $2,000 signing bonus, so not a lot tied into you, like, just for, like, a frame of reference. Like, I was an undrafted free agent. My signing bonus was, like, $7,500. I was considered a priority free agent, whatever. You know, it's all just varying degrees of the same thing, but it's, like, the minimal investment that you've got and the small opportunity you've got to capitalize on this, you're shutting down everything. Like, it has to be so myopic.
Locked in.
If you're going to be, and listen, I was so fortunate. Ryan Clark, who was a veteran on the Steelers when I was there, Ramon Foster, who was a guard for them for a long time there, both undrafted guys that had made it for a long time, to kind of walk you through, hey, you know, Ramon Foster took me and the other undrafted offensive lineman out to dinner the first day and said, it's going to take an extra level of effort and dedication. You're going to have to be willing to do whatever it takes just to have a shot of making the team on it. You can't afford to do, like, if you're a first-round pick, this guy's still on the team, by the way. If you're a first-round pick, hell, if you're probably a second- or third-round pick, dude is still on the team. But when you are already someone who they're just taking a flyer on to begin with, you don't get slip-ups. That's not
how
it
works.
Do you
think he gets a second chance?
Not at this point now, especially if you are a late signing. Most of these rosters are set. Like, he'll have a better chance overall this season if he's a player with any sort of skill or ability, because with COVID-19, if the NFL is going to go through, the back end of these rosters are going to turn over a lot when guys test positive, when guys have to quarantine. But I still think, I mean, you could have just tanked your NFL career for this to start it off.
Yeah, and it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Now, do you think that the way we are talking about him, I saw his face on Get Up, we're talking about him on radio, that now there's enough of an incentive for everyone to stay in line in the NFL? Or do you think this is going to likely continue to happen? People will still try to flex, whether you're the top player or the bottom player. Like, this is just a scenario that needs to be addressed.
Yeah, I you know what? Let's put it this way. I hope that this is all it takes to remind everyone. And we've seen positive examples. Dak Prescott electing to go and stay, be one of the veterans staying at the Omni Hotel in Dallas. And he said, the healthiest team, the most diligent team, is going to be the one that wins out on this. There are a lot of guys that understand it, but maybe if there were guys on the back end, hopefully this is all it takes and not someone getting sick and not the worst case scenario in all this. Hopefully this is a reminder of how real the stakes are and how thankfully serious everyone in the NFL is taking this entire process. All that is Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. So, Chinee, it has been a fun run on the show this week. We've been holding it down on First Take, Your Take. We've been hanging in there, trying to do our best in this spot, give everyone a little bit of tease. But coming up next, we're going to look fully ahead not only to this weekend in sports and some of the great things that we have to look forward to, but the debut of Chinee Ngolick Jr. starting next week on ESPN Radio. We'll get all that coming up next here on ESPN Radio. I thought Damian Lillard was going to be the only one pulling up from the logo. Apparently, Chinee's already got folks out here in the DMs pulling up from distance. It's First Take, Your Take here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. Our thanks to ESPN NBA front office insider Bobby Marks for joining us earlier in the show. Chinee, you got people lighting you up from distance right now. Good Lord.
Yeah. Look, hey, I love Twitter, at ESPN Radio, at Mike Golick Jr., at Chinee321. I love Twitter. And guess what? I think, hey, producer Shannon's here, and I'm hoping that maybe a segment of our new show can be Shoot Your Shot, where you shoot your shot with your basketball knowledge and try to earn my love.
Ooh.
Because, you know, the funny thing about the tweet, and I have to shout out, it's not Moody time. who put out the tweet. And basically he's saying that I'm smarter than the Seahawks rookie, I promise.
So he's not going to try and dress you up like a professional player in order to win over your affection. That seems like a solid place to start.
No, but then like you lose credit here because he says, but I bet I could beat you one-on-one. Winner picks where we go on our first date, okay? Like, that's, you know what? That actually works to my benefit because we'll play and then I'll be like, bye. No first date. No, I'm just kidding. But your girl may be a little, you know, it's not so set in stone here with availability.
Oh.
You know? We might have a old boy situation.
Oh.
But still, I'm going to let people shoot their shot, but with their knowledge. With their knowledge, and we'll see if they get love from us.
You are shooting your shot for Chinee's brain and not her heart at this point.
Yeah, pretty much.
So
pretty
much. Well, okay, all right. So we've got this to keep track of here. So this is a good segue because we've been holding it down, filling in all week from First Take, Your Take this week. We've really enjoyed it. But next week does start the real leg of this, ESPN Radio's new lineup, and Chinee Ngolick Jr., 4 to 7 Eastern. So you're walking into this already saying that we're looking at a situation right now where you're off the open market here.
Well, I think, you know, you know, they say nothing's real until you put a ring on it. And
oh.
I'm trying to win a championship ring or any kind of ring.
Oh.
I need two rings, a championship and a life championship. So, yeah, let's go forward because, like, I you know, I need real energy here.
All right.
And we're talking about me. What about you? I think you're in the same situation.
So I am completely on the open market here right now, but I like the idea of us being able to use this show. My mom, you know, is going to be pressing you to try and get me a date with somebody, but this is perfect because now we can put the pressure on old boy to make sure that when things start to become real, we see how really, shout out to Tennessee, the champions of life in this situation, like, this could be beneficial for both of us,
hey,
I feel
it's not,
like.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. Shoot your shot. With, whether it's football knowledge, you shoot your shot with that to earn our love and affection via the show or basketball knowledge for me. So shoot your shot, coming soon, Monday.
There we
August 17th.
All of that you can check in on right now. You can also tune in for an AL East rivalry tomorrow night as Aaron Judge and the Yankees host the Red Sox. Coverage begins at 6:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. We got plenty to also look forward to this weekend. We got UFC 252. I saw that Stipe Miocic and Daniel Cormier both just made weight in Las Vegas, so they're good to go for that fight. In a lot of that, we got plenty of NBA action rolling up this weekend as well, so we're good. Sorry, I looked like you were waving me down. My bad, Shanae.
I didn't know if you were ready or not. I told you, I just moved in. Here's the good news, you guys. We've been here on First Take, Your Take, and we've been holding it down, getting ready for our show. And in the interim of this week, I've had my whole apartment set up, my whole crib set up. And so everything's here. The bugs are still present because they didn't put the AC on like the week before leading into me moving. So that's what you saw. I was sort of like fending off some kind of wild situation. But the good news is we will be ready to go come Monday. Lights, camera, action.
Fully locked in, fully prepped, fully ready to go. So as we look forward to that, Shanae, as we look forward to the NBA playoffs that are getting ready to get going right now, is there a matchup, as we look towards the first round of the postseason, that you're most looking forward to? We've talked so much about Lakers, Blazers, potentially, things like that. If you had to stake your claim on one as we begin the NBA postseason, what's it going to be?
We've all been talking about it, 1-8. 1-8 if it happens to be, obviously. Portland Trailblazers, I think that would be amazing to see that whole momentum going up against LeBron James, the Hollywood factor that's in the bubble. It's 1-8 in the West, but there are so many good matchups, even in Philly, that's a team that's sort of struggling, but they're playing the Celtics. You know, so you have an Al Horford revenge. Every scenario is going to be entertaining.
Every scenario is going to be entertaining. As I mentioned, really looking forward to UFC 252 on my end as well in that, in addition to the NBA. Also, tune in for an AL East rivalry this Sunday. The Yankees and the Red Sox are going to be presented by GEICO. Coverage of Sunday Night Baseball begins at 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and 7 p.m. on ESPN. And make sure you stay tuned 4-7 starting on Monday. Chiney and Golic Jr., we're going to be locked in with you guys. Stick around with Peter Burns and Katie George next.